The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to talk about the issues you want to talk about. This is Barely Controlled Radio with your host, former Pittsburgh Steelers place kicker Jeff Reed. Jeff's got his opinions, but he knows you have some too, and he's ready to field them all. Now, here's Jeff Reed and Barely Controlled Radio.
Welcome to another awesome show of Barely Controlled Radio here live on the Voice America Variety Channel. I usually introduce my guests and jump right into it. I do have actually three guests today. Two female United States team elite swimmers. We'll get to here shortly, but first, what I'd like to bring on a guest. Her name is Michelle Coffino, and you know, a lot of my shows, some way or another, I know I joke around a lot, I screw around a lot, I have fun, and I'm serious at times. Like last week with Dream on Three, the similarities to them in Make-A-Wish, you know, it was kind of tear-jerking, but it was fun. I like to give my name out there as a guy that loves to give back. I feel very blessed for what I've been involved with. I've had some very rough downs as well, because I'm human, but, you know, I always like to give back. So, like I said, as I've talked about just about every show in one way or another, I want to bring one of my workout partners on to discuss her event, Recycling Metal to Recycle Lives. This is Michelle Coffino. What's up, Michelle?
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice. And it's so funny. We meet working out, and then we blabbermouth, and then we kind of come across something that we're both involved in. It's your event, but you know, I'm just hopefully as big a part of it as you. Only you put way more work into it. But you know, I have a huge heart for giving back. So you know, why don't you tell me how you came up with this? This is your first annual, I know, the Recycling Metal to Recycle Lives. How'd you come up with this idea, and why would you choose me?
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, first and foremost, everyone at my recycling facility are huge diehard Steeler fans. As you know, the steel market originated from Pittsburgh, so all of these Pittsburgh listeners know how important the steel market was and what it did for a lot of people that were employed and how it saved a lot of people to keep jobs. Having a steel yard, we provide an economic independence for a lot of people who are disadvantaged, homeless, or suffer from mental illness. So this year, every year that we've been in business, which has been since July of 2013, we've done stuff to help the homeless and the mentally ill. So this year, which will be our second year in business, we wanted to kick off a wonderful event to give back and be an active community partner in the city of Charlotte. And with you being a native Charlottean and a diehard Steeler fan, I felt you really fit for my company and being a woman-owned business. You really support our community, and I think that says a lot for people that are professional athletes, that when they've accomplished what you have as being a Super Bowl champion, and you still care about the people. And that was really important to me. We had a lot of people that really wanted to come to the event and be a part of our event, and I wanted to be selective and have people that really brought back the mission that Queen City Metal has.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. Everyone says you meet people for a reason, and some of them are reasons where you don't ever want to meet people like that again, and some of them are reasons that, you know, like this, you know, you're just working out, we're sweating, can't breathe, then all of a sudden we get to talking, you're a business lady, I'm just coming out of a pro football career, which is cool and everything, but I don't really know what it's like to be a businessman, you know, I'm just a competitor, and I meet you. But so here are the details for the listeners out there. Let me get these in. We have about 4 or 5 minutes here. It's Wednesday, June 17th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Sugar Creek Brewing Company, which in Charlotte, North Carolina, or in surrounding areas, if you can make it, or if you fly in, it'd be great. Just if you, and also if you were to say you heard about it on this show, that would actually be kind of cool for both of us. But it's 215-215 Southside Drive, and that's Charlotte, North Carolina. $15 admission, which is nothing for what you get. It includes an entree, two sides, and one beer. But I'm sure if you're going to be there, you'll probably stay for a few more. you know, there's all kinds of, there's donations, there's silent auction, there's raffle, there's purchasing tickets, there's, but, you know, we could talk about this for 30 minutes, but what you already said pretty much what the proceeds benefit with the, the Charlotte Rescue Mission and the Crisis Assistance Ministry. You know, I just think in general, this was well worth my time to give 8 to 10 minutes to, because I think that giving back, to get what you want in life, you have to give. And yeah, we're both believers in that. And I think what you're doing is awesome.
Well, we have the men's shelter as well as one of the other participants. But one of the things that was great is we're having you come and do a meet and greet and sign autographs for all my Steeler fans to get a two-time Super Bowl champion, to sign hard hats, which we have Safety Products donated hard hats for us, and we're going to have pictures of you when you were playing to sign autographs for. And we also have Grammy Award winner David Frizzell doing a meet and greet and sign them live. And we'll also have guitars that will be silent auction that he's going to sign, as well as a 45 from his Grammy winner song, You're the Reason God Made Oklahoma. So I'm super excited. And the silent auction items we have are 120. The community really jumped in, and we have some top shelf from the Ritz-Carlton to the West End to Capitol Grille de Palm to a weekend Hilton Head. So I'm pretty proud of our community coming.
And you're an easy guest. You're an easy guest. You answer all my questions before I ask them. So I was going to ask you, I heard we had a kind of a cool NFL player coming. That would be me. And then
it's
also,
it's a two-time Super Bowl champion. That's a rarity. And let me tell you something. That left Pittsburgh, what knows Jeff Reed?
Yeah, they all know me for crazy hair more than field goals, I think, but that's okay.
All my clients love them.
And I was also going to ask you about the Grammy winner, but you beat me to it. So I do want to mention your website for people that catch this late and want more details. If you didn't catch the details, it's QCRecycling.com, which is stands for Queen City, which is, that's what Charlotte's known as for all you out-of-towners. You know, real briefly before we hit the break, Mickey, why don't you tell me personally, as I think I want to start a nonprofit one day, about the time and effort you have put into this event?
Well, the time and effort, I've been very blessed. I've got an excellent team. I had Pascal Promotions help promote this event with us, and Tom Bush Law Firm and Yadkin Bank. And, you know, we've had such support from the community. It's really flown well. But anybody starting a nonprofit, make sure that you're passionate for it and it's your mission and you really want to make a commitment to make a difference. And that's kind of our mantra.
Well, thank you once again, Michelle, for coming on. I look forward to being a huge part of recycling metal to recycle lives and using that Steel City pride that I bring down to Charlotte, North Carolina, as being very blessed
to
play in Pittsburgh.
Jeff, we have to really thank UCS because they made all our banners for you, and you're going to see everything there to promote this wonderful event. And we can't wait to have all my Steeler friends there to have you be a part of it.
And I'm sure it'll be a little crazy. Thanks again, and I look forward to the event Wednesday, June 17th. 5 to 9 p.m. Sugar Creek Brewing Company in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to hit the break
come
here.
Have some great
come
beer.
On back. Huh?
Have to come have some great beer.
Yeah, there you go. Come have some great beer. Let me go ahead and advertise beer. Perfect. All right, come on back to Barely Controlled Radio for some more fun and knowledge as I bring on a couple guests from the USA swim team.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network.
that professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business talk.
The way we do banking today continues to evolve. No longer is it just brick-and-mortar locations or traditional banker's hours. Today, banking is 24/7. It's in the home. It's on the go. It's digital. Tune in to Breaking Banks with Brett King for a look at how traditional banking as we know it has changed due to a loss of trust, changing economic conditions and consumer behavior, government involvement, and, of course, technology. What does it all mean? Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at Voice America TRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's Voice America TRN.
You're listening to Barely Controlled Radio with Jeff Reed. We want to hear from you at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to jeff@thejeffreedshow.com. Now, back to Barely Controlled Radio.
Welcome back to Barely Controlled Radio. I thank Michelle Coffino once again for coming on the early segment of Barely Controlled Radio for their talking about some charity stuff. And I'm sure my next guest is already involved in charity work at such a young age. But I wanted to, I could go through her bio and, you know, it would probably take the whole 20-minute segment we have because there's so many accomplishments already at 23. God, I feel like you're 40 with all these accomplishments, but I'm not going to go through all those. I'm just going to welcome her on. It's another member, which is a teammate, of course, of Ryan Lochte. That's how a lot of people like to know that, but you're your own person. So another member of Team Elite from Swim Mac Carolina. This is Camille Adams. What's going on, Camille?
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. You know, I guess doing my job, so they say. I appreciate you coming on my show.
Thank you for having me.
We'll talk a little swimming because I don't know. Did you compete? No, I don't think you competed the other day in Charlotte. Did you on that Friday finals? Were you there?
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. There were so many events. I got jumbled and I was watching the wrong people.
Yeah, lots of people. That's kind of crazy.
I was so confused. I've never been to something like that before. But anyway, you know, growing up, not that you're old, and I told you that off the air. What did you tell yourself you wanted to be? You know, was it swimming? Was it a swimmer? Was it a different sport? Was it just something random?
Yeah, so growing up, swimming is actually the only sport I've ever done. Most swimmers can't, they don't usually say that. They usually said they try everything else. But my dad was a swim coach, so heading to the pool with him every day for practice was just kind of our normal thing. And finally, he was like, okay, we're just going to throw you two in the water. I have a twin sister as well. Her name's Ashley. Yeah, we just started swim lessons probably around 3 or 4, started swim meets probably around 4 or 5. So yeah, swimming's actually the only sport I've ever done, fell in love with it right from the beginning. I would say it was just kind of in our blood and have really, really enjoyed this journey, enjoyed growing up with the sport.
You know, that's crazy because I always tell people when they ask me my story, because a lot of times I speak to groups and they want me to speak on leadership and different things, but my story is I was a soccer player and I played basketball, but I stopped growing and was getting swatted too much. And I was just tired of playing basketball because I like to win and be competitive. And then I didn't want to play football. I just wanted to watch it. And then I ended up playing my senior year in high school and then going to college as a walk-on and then playing in the NFL, which is kind of weird considering I had no desire to play the game when I was 17 years old. But it's not about me. This show is about you. So. That's pretty cool that you like swimming from the get-go. I will say one thing that's kind of funny. I'll get into talking a little bit about Texas A&M down the road, but because that's where obviously you went to college. But I do, I did want to mention that North Carolina, I don't know if they still do it, but to actually you can graduate, but you can't get your diploma at least when I was there, I graduated in 2001, if you didn't pass your swim test.
Right. A&M used to. So we were an all military school, all male military. Actually, my grandfather went to A&M and graduated, and they used to have to take a swim test, but they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, it's probably good because seriously, people were like, they had the paramedics there at the swim test.
Right.
Like,
oh, I'm sure. It's crazy how many people don't know how to swim.
Yeah. I mean, and my thing was I was an athlete, so I'd just stay in the deep end because if you touch the wall or anything, you're disqualified.
You're out.
So.
Right.
Yeah, so I just stayed in the deep end and treaded water, which I call swimming.
There you go. You made it.
Yeah, it's not swimming laps by any means. So anyway, like I said, to introduce you, anyone and everyone can read your decorated bio and profile, but about swimming in general, I know your specialty is the butterfly. What is your what's your most favorite event and your least favorite? You probably don't have a least, but if one that kind of like jumbles you a little bit.
Yeah, so I think my favorite event would probably be my best event, the 200 fly. And then my least favorite would probably be any of the breaststrokes. I swim a lot of IM stuff, so that's all four strokes. So the breaststrokes in that, but like the 200 breast or the 100 breast is kind of my lowest man on the totem pole. So don't swim those too often. So those aren't really my favorite.
Well, you know, I watched all different strokes the other day when I was in Charlotte watching everyone compete.
Yeah, you would have watched a 400 IM. They had the 400 IM on Friday night.
Yeah, I watched. I couldn't. And then all the whistling that goes on at those swim meets, is that normal? Is that the only way you can hear your team cheering you on?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of when you get to our level, you swim your own race and you don't quite focus so much on what's going on around you. I'm sure you know that feeling. But yeah, especially for some of the younger kids, it's always exciting, though, when you hear lots of people yelling and cheering. And at the meet last weekend, having it be in Charlotte, definitely having a home crowd advantage is always so much fun. You know, Charlotte, the Swimac puts on a great event, and it's been a lot of fun. This is actually my third year getting to do it. Obviously, didn't grow up in Charlotte, so haven't been coming here often to do that meet. But the past 3 years, I really have enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was quite an experience for me.
Lots of people, lots of staff coming.
But I was cheering for everyone because it's a talent either way you look at it. Now, as far as competing, I know the Worlds are coming up, and what is that? Late July, correct?
Yeah, so that's in late July. So we'll leave the 21st, which is a Tuesday, and we'll go to a training camp in Croatia for about a week. Or so, and then we'll head on over to Russia and prepare for Worlds.
Man, that's crazy. I mean,
I played
at the highest level of football, but you know, I always, whatever event, like even if it was curling or something that looks cheesy, I always wanted to be part of the Olympics and travel the world and compete for my country. It's kind of cool, but
one of the coolest things. Yeah, no, you're fine. I think traveling is one of the coolest things that we get to experience. We've kind of been everywhere. If you're on Team USA, you usually travel quite a bit. So, it's one of my favorite things, and I would never pick Kazan, Russia to kind of go to off the map. But in places like that, you know, you find little odds and ends about them that you really end up enjoying and that you probably wouldn't have, picked to go. So I'm very excited.
Right. I mean, and you probably realize how great of a country the United States is when you go to a lot of the places you compete, even though you're probably in pretty nice areas. It's still,
imagine. You definitely do. Yeah. Even just, you're very proud to be an American when you go and represent your country. Obviously, you would probably guess that. But just being a part of the team is always so much fun. And you get to wear the red, white, and blue. And that's one of my favorite things about these meets is just getting to represent America.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, I was asked a question one time, would you rather have a gold medal or your Super Bowl rings? And my answer, because I was in Pittsburgh, was, of course, my Super Bowl rings. But, you know, when you really think about that, like if I could have played on the World Cup United States soccer team and won the World Cup, man, I don't know. You know, it's a different feeling, but that's another story.
It's a little different.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so obviously you're a member of Team Elite. I learned a lot from Ryan when I did. Right. I know him personally, and I knew I learned a lot in his interview. But talk a little bit about – Team Elite? How close are you and your teammates? What makes you guys so special and different from the other teams there are out there?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, I graduated from Texas A&M and finished school, and just really wanted to be a part of a professional team, wanted to surround myself with people that were more or less in the same walk of life. And so Charlotte was the first place that I looked. I checked it out 2 summers ago, just to kind of, it was right after the summer after the Olympics, and just kind of knew I was going to swim professionally. And so just tried to figure out exactly where I wanted to go, and met David Marsh over in London when I was there, and had been around him a little bit before then as well. So made the move out here that first summer, and absolutely, I wanted to make sure that I loved the city that I was living in. I've never really left kind of the greater Houston area. You know, College Station's only like an hour away. So I wanted [S2] Right. [S1] To make sure that I loved Charlotte, and I absolutely fell in love with Charlotte from the moment I got here. So that was a plus. And then also wanted to make sure that I felt the family aspect of a team. I wanted to kind of get the whole package, not just be part of a Team Elite, but I wanted to be a part of SwimMAC as a whole. And, you know, all the way from the Learn to Swim program all the way up to us, we do a lot of different stuff all together. And so that's something that definitely drew me to Charlotte, drew me to Team Elite. And then, you know, getting to train with people like you said, like Ryan, or really everybody across the board. We have a lot of people that aren't from the U.S., and so they add so much to the program. And just getting to train with, you know, the best in the world is always a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it. I thought, you know, professional swimming would be the exact same as college, and it's a completely different ball field. You know, swimming has become my job since, I guess, January, since I moved out here, but I really enjoyed it. And we have so much fun. It's hard not to enjoy it. This morning, for example, David had us go get out on the boats on Lake Norman and just, you know, ride around. And one of us was on a paddleboard, so I was Ryan's partner, and he was on a paddleboard and I swam. And then we would, after, you know, 1,000 or so a mile, we would switch back and forth. So that was a lot of fun. And then we got to do some stuff behind a boat, just working on some more like faster speed swimming. So just some different stuff. And I love that about David. I love that about the rest of the coaches that we have here. They like to do some different things. So when you've done the same thing for almost, you know, 20 something years now, you like to mix it up. So that's right. Another reason I came here.
Right. You know, I was going to say, mm-hmm. you know, when I played on certain teams, like Pittsburgh was a family oriented team for so long. Mm-hmm. It changed a little bit with the change of coaches. Then it came back because he had to kind of put the law down of how Coach Tomlin was going to coach instead of Coach Cower. But, you know, you did go-kart races and mini golf, and, you know, you'd skip a practice. Once you're in your uniform, you have to take your pads off and everybody get on the bus. We're going to a team movie. And obviously what you guys were doing is still training. But just the change of scenery and being on Lake Norman instead of in a pool.
And, doing something a little different. And Wednesdays is usually like our recovery morning anyway. So it was a perfect morning to get out there and do that.
Well, that's cool. You know, and obviously, Nassie, I've heard of David Marsh for years, but that mm-hmm. doesn't mean I know anything about him, because I haven't really mm-hmm. been. Every time the Olympics comes around, I'm a huge swimming fan, but I don't.
Right.
I've told myself this year, after meeting Ryan face to face and then listening to him speak and then having you girls on, you know, it's going to make me want to watch, and, you know, I'll be glued to the TV more.
We love to hear that. You know, swimming it's a once every 4 years kind of sport. And, I think our program is, you know, with David is trying to make it more of an everyday kind of thing. At least, you know, once a year you have people tune in a little bit more to swimming instead of just once every 4 years. Because it's definitely not just a once every four years sport for us. It's definitely every day, and especially we have a big meet, you know, every summer. So,
right. And well, before we go any further, I did hear you say, and it's also on your bio because I can read mm-hmm. that you're from Houston. How's the city? Do you have any friends or anything that got? Hopefully nobody got injured in that horrible storm for the other
night.
No
one's injured.
Days ago.
I actually went home for a wedding this past weekend, and experienced some of the downpour. It's kind of crazy horrible. There right now.
Yeah, it's horrible. Oh, I'm glad everybody's all right.
Yeah, I am too.
It didn't look like that.
It's still, I've heard the weather's not so hot today either, so.
Well, hopefully there's a lot of heat that comes through there and gets that water out of there. But
yeah.
I had to check on that, you know, because I'm sure you have friends there. But okay, yeah. Now your training regimen and diet. I talked to Ryan. He said sometimes, and I actually heard this on TV before I heard it from anyone else, about some of the, you know, 10,000 calorie meals and this and that. And then you get in the pool. And to me, that's crazy because, you know, my parents told me growing up that, you know, you have to, if you have a snack or something, you got to wait 30 minutes to get in the pool because you'll throw up. And you guys have like all these calories consumed and get in there and compete. Obviously, it's a little different for you because you're female.
I wouldn't say I eat anywhere near what the boys do for starters or anywhere near 10,000 calories. But we do eat a little bit more than the average person, I would definitely say. Growing up, it was always, you know, you ate all the time and you ate whatever you want. But now that I'm a little bit, you know, a little older, try to eat a little bit healthier, watch what I eat, definitely kind of fuel your body so that I can swim, not swim so I can eat. A little bit different mind game playing with it now. Sure. But yeah, we definitely eat more than average person. And, we don't, the women don't eat near as much as the guys. I know. Like you said, Ryan, those guys eat quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, you hear 10,000 calorie meal, just one meal, whether it's one day or 50 days. And you think, God, that dude's got to be so fat and they're all ripped up and in great shape. So, that's pretty impressive, but I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Cause we have about, I don't know, 8 minutes or so left, and I want myself and other people listening. Get to know you better and what's in store for you. Now, as a member and national champion for Texas A&M, I have to ask you, as a football fan who was my favorite quarterback there, did you ever cross paths with Johnny Football? And if you did, why don't you tell us how he really is instead of what the media portrays, or are they right?
You know, I actually never really hung out with Johnny. You know, we had obviously very different schedules, very different lifestyles. But, you know, I heard that A&M we really loved him. He did a whole lot for the university. He, you know, joining the SEC and having him all kind of come at one time was a lot to the university, but he's done so much, and he's absolutely an amazing football player. Obviously, I loved watching him play. There's nothing like an Aggie football game, and that's definitely what I've missed most about not being in College Station or the games. But hopefully I'll get back for some next fall and see who's next.
I had no ties to that school at all, and I'm an ACC guy because I went to Chapel Hill. But, you know, I loved the way he played, and anyone that can beat Alabama, I like. And I'm a Crimson Tide hater.
It's usually where we get people. If you can beat Alabama,
if you beat Alabama, I'm a fan. But no, I think definitely. The media, and he's made some bad decisions, as we all have as humans. But you know, I think that the media is a little harsh on him. And hopefully in Cleveland, he gets it together. Now, I did read somewhere that one of your hobbies outside of the pool is listening to Justin Bieber. I was hoping that was a misprint.
It's a little old. It's a little dated. Yeah, that was a couple years ago. It's not so much. Yeah, we need to get it updated. It's not so much anymore. I do listen to a lot of, on the other side of the spectrum, I guess, country music. That's mainly my go-to. I love country concerts, you know, being outside and stuff like that. Obviously, I grew up in Texas, so it's what we grew up with. And even like before races, I usually listen to country music. I'm not a big rap girl. The team usually gets excited if I know a popular, you know, pop or whatever hip hop song. They're like, oh, Camille knows this one.
And then I live in a little sheltered country music world. All right. So the reason I mentioned that is not because I honestly was hoping that it was just something they could have taken off your bio at 18 years old. But if it was true, I was going to ask you about him, but I'm not worried about that now. But I want to ask you a personal question that can pertain to all athletes. And I know this answer from my perspective, but I ask you that question about Bieber to tell me how important it is at 23 years old to surround yourself with individuals that will help you reach your personal goals. It seems as if you have a great head on your shoulders. Like, who's your number one inspiration? Because, you know, and I'm not saying Bieber was your inspiration. I'm just saying it seems like he couldn't stay out of trouble. It's okay if you get into it and you learn, but he couldn't stay out of it. So who's your inspiration and why?
I think that's the only way that I am where I am today is because I have surrounded myself with such a great team, a great support system. You know, I definitely like have family and friends, but I would say that the person that influenced me the most probably growing up and even still today. Her name was Missy Hyman, and she was a 200 butterflyer as well, Olympic medalist, and just an amazing person. She's so much more than just an athlete. She just has such a great heart and does a lot of charity work, and I've gotten to know her really well since the Olympics. And so she's been definitely somebody that I always looked up to, and she's fulfilled every dream that I've ever had that she would be. So that's pretty cool. But I think, yeah, it's definitely important getting so much recognition at such a young age for people just to, you know, surround themselves, like you said, surround themselves with people that have their same goals in mind and have the best interest, your best interest, just kind of looking out for you. And we definitely have that on Team Elite. We have such a big group that all kind of makes our everyday happen, even from little things all the way up to getting us to Worlds in Rome in Russia this summer. So yeah, it takes an army.
Yeah, and I've surrounded myself with great people, and then people that were in it to act like they were me, and that didn't work out so well. And you know, you learn that after the fact.
Yeah, it's a part of the process. You know, you live and you learn, and yeah.
You know, I couldn't let you go. We have a few minutes here. I couldn't let you go without asking you about your actual Olympics experience in 2012. Mm-hmm. I know you placed fifth in your event, which is probably a little disappointing, even though it was cool at the same time. But I already know greater things are in store for you. So tell me about the experience in general.
Yeah, so it actually wasn't disappointing at all. I went into college and actually had shoulder surgery right after my senior year. So going into college, not being able to swim, rehabbing and doing all of that was kind of a low point for me. So the Olympics only being 2 years later, it wasn't really right in my forefront. And I had a roommate my freshman year by the name of Sarah Henry. She's from Raleigh, North Carolina. And she told me every day, she was like, you're going to make the Olympics. You're going to make the Olympics. You're going to make the Olympics. And I looked at her. I was like, I can't even swim right now. You're crazy. You have no idea what you're talking about. And, you know, freshman year went like your typical freshman year. Lots of bumps in the road. And finally, you know, I think I got second at NCAAs my freshman year. So had a good swim. But the summer after didn't yield the results that I had wished. So leading into that next summer, the summer you're supposed to make an Olympic team, was a little bit more nerve-wracking. I had a good swim in January, which put me in first in the country. So you have to be top two to make the Olympic team. So that was definitely a boost for the ego, you know, just mentally to get up there again and be where I knew that, you know, I could be, and knew where, you know, Sarah had told me that I would be all the year before. And so just to make the Olympics was a huge deal for me in 2012. So then when I went and got fifth, I was very happy. So I learned a lot over that Olympics. It was actually my first international meet to compete for the USA. I had done like junior team stuff, but on the national level, that was my first meet. So definitely had to learn a lot in a very quick amount of time. I'm excited for what 16 has to hold. And I feel like I have a little bit better grip on the national swimming level and the stage and what to expect. But London was an amazing city, obviously, and my whole family got to go. So I have a twin, like I said, her name's Ashley, and my parents and then an aunt on either side of my family got to go. So we kind of made it a family affair, and just had a really, really good time. Like I said, my dad was a swimmer, and so for me to be able to take him to the Olympics was a very special moment for the two of us. And my sister's always wanted to go to New York, London, and Paris. She's a fashionista. So I took her to London for the Olympics, and then we had an event to kind of celebrate the Olympics in New York. So I just have Paris left to get her to. So it's definitely become a family affair.
Yeah, that's I couldn't imagine that. I mean, just having family involved in games, and of course Super Bowls and playoff games and this and that was cool. But, you know, taking the family to London to watch you can actually compete, not just to enjoy the, you know, scenery, that's pretty impressive.
It's a very, very cool experience.
All right, now I have two more questions for you. One's kind of serious, and I would never end on a serious question, so the other one won't be serious. All right, so your birthday is September 11th. So obviously that's a great day for you, but it's kind of a Debbie Downer day for obvious reasons for our country. What kind of emotions engulf you on that day when everyone is remembering everything, but that's the day you're supposed to celebrate your birth?
Yeah.
I know that struck you at 10 years old. So
yeah, I was in the fourth grade. I remember, obviously, like everybody remembers that day vividly. So I think we do a little bit of both. My sister and I, we do a lot of remembering of that day and those people, but we also do some celebrating as well for us. But yeah, definitely that day definitely holds a very, very special place in our hearts. I still haven't made it up to Ground Zero. We want to do all of that here soon, just to kind of check that out. But yeah.
Yeah, that, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a great day because you were born that day. That's the way I have to look at it in this interview. But the last question I have for you, and we'll hit the break, is I used to do an extra point, which is obviously, you know, because I'm a kicker, or was a kicker, but I'm going to ask you just the last question I ask all of my guests. To you, who is Jeff Reed? Because you probably had to look me up when they said Jeff Reed wants to interview you.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm not a huge crazy football person, so even being from Texas, I know I'm getting there. I'm into college football. I really am into college football. I'm getting into the more professional side now that I'm out of college. Yeah, let me think. Okay, repeat the question one more time. Who is Jeff Reed?
Yeah, I just said, who am I? That's not a hard question.
Well, you're a lot of fun. I had a great time.
There we go. Any answer is acceptable. I've heard great things, bad things, funny things. It's whatever.
No, it was a lot of fun. It was a great time.
All right. Well, once again, Camille, I really appreciate you coming on my show. I wish you the utmost success. You're well on your path. You've already had a ton of success, but it's only going to get better for you in the future. Stay healthy. Stay out of trouble. I know that's what I tell myself these days. Thank you once again for coming on my show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Bye. All right. You're welcome. It's time for a quick break. We'll be right back with Kathleen Baker.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
On the morning of August 5th, 1962, the world awoke to the shocking news that Marilyn Monroe, one of the biggest icons in Hollywood history, had been found dead. What really happened that night? Join Nina Bosky as she seeks to uncover both the life and tragic death of Marilyn Monroe and what keeps her so popular over 50 years later. Good Night Marilyn Radio, live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite, live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You're listening to Barely Controlled Radio with Jeff Reed. We want to hear from you at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to jeff@thejeffreedshow.com. Now, back to Barely Controlled Radio.
Welcome back to the final segment of Barely Controlled Radio here live on the Voice America Variety Channel. You know, I just had Camille Adams on, and she was awesome, and she took up a lot of time of my next guest, only because I told her to elaborate, so that was good. She did awesome. I'm just kidding. But, you know, I wanted to feature as well Kathleen Baker. Welcome to the show, Kathleen. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. Now, I have to tell a little bit about you before we get going, so you don't have to brag on yourself the whole show. But Kathleen is the youngest member of Team Elite. She's obviously 18. She's a high school senior who has committed to swim at California Berkeley. next year. And she's already competed on the international stage several times and is once again, not once again, and is also on the world championship team competing in Russia this summer. Now, you know, like I said, welcome, but I always thought at 18 years old that I was pretty successful. But then when I look at, when I ask for a simple bio, you know, because I only have so many words that I can fulfill a bio with, I had to like narrow yours down to like a quarter of it, because you, all these records and successes, I was nowhere near your league as a senior in high school. How does that feel to be so competitive at such a young age?
It's pretty awesome. Swimming has definitely taken me a lot of places around the world, and I've gotten to do some pretty extraordinary things for being just 18. But I've always been super competitive as a kid, and so swimming has always been my outlet. So I think that's where it comes from.
Well, that's cool, man. And I really like, I'm trying to get, the reason I have, not that, you know, the whole world is listening to my show, which it is international, but I try to get swimming out there because I, as I told Camille, I'm glued to the TV during Olympics, but then it's like a four year break. And I'm like, swimming should be on at least annually. So you get used to seeing who's competing, who's getting better, who's winning the medals, who's winning the honors. And so I'm trying to, that's why I have you guys, you girls on here, because I think it's an awesome sport, because just to go tread water for me is, you know, it's a hell of a workout. And for you, treading water is like eating breakfast, just chilling. So I'll congratulate you ahead of time on your future successes, but I know you're getting ready to compete in the world championships as well as Camille in Russia. And that starts July 24th. What events will you be competing in that you know of right now?
The 100 back and maybe the 100 back on the medley relay.
Now, what is your, obviously those are strengths. What is your, I don't know, what event makes you the most frustrated, I guess I should say?
I don't think I really have like a really frustrating event. I sort of like to swim every stroke. I spent a lot of time growing up trying to be good at every stroke, so I wouldn't hit like in practice when they go, oh, maybe swim breaststroke, I wouldn't have to go to the end of the lane or have to be like going slower than everyone else. But I've worked like really hard on trying to get like at least okay at each stroke, so I don't feel like there's one that's just so much worse than the rest of them. But I'd say if I have to work on the stroke, it's definitely breaststroke.
Well, you know, it's you know, there's always the swimmers I've talked to, whether I knew them or they've been on the show, there's always something they don't hate, but they don't necessarily love it. And obviously that's different about you, so that's pretty cool. I actually saw you swim in Charlotte couple weeks ago as well, and I was very impressed. I don't know how impressed you were with yourself, but I was impressed. So now,
oh, thank you. That's my favorite meet of the entire year is Charlotte. Man, I've been going since I was 13.
It was so chaotic in there. It's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it's pretty crowded, but you get to, like, your whole team is there pretty much watching you, and the stands are packed, and it's your home city, so there's just a ton of support coming out of that meet.
Right, for sure. Now, as the youngest member of Team Elite, what is the most rewarding part of that, being the youngest, in learning from the other ones, the other swimmers?
I definitely get to take advantage of being coached by one of the best coaches in the world and swimming with definitely the best swimmers in the world. And not very many age group swimmers or 18-under swimmers get that. And I've just got to observe and learn a lot over the past 3 years, being able to just watch what they do in practice, how they act at meets, as well as being coached by David, who is amazing. And he's definitely an out-of-the-box coach and definitely has a very strong technical side of swimming, which I've learned, like, a massive amount. I just try to absorb everything he says. So I think I've just learned so much from just being around everyone.
That's cool. And, you know, it's kind of like, and what I only thing I can compare it to, which it's not when I was, you said you started in Charlotte at 13 years old?
14.
Yeah. So I can't really compare it, but the only thing I would compare it to is when in the NFL, when you're a rookie, you're 22-ish, somewhere around there, and there's guys on their team that are 35, and you learn a lot about the league within the first 2 months of being on a team. But that's a pretty cool thing. And obviously this is a cheesy question, but as a fan, because I'm not a swimmer, I have to ask it. We all know Ryan Lochte is the face of international swimming. And a question everyone wants to ask, though, is how cool is it teaming up with guys like Ryan and the other competitors on that team?
It's definitely pretty awesome. When he first moved here, I was like so excited that like I could tell all my like non-swim friends. I was like, yeah, I swim with Ryan Lochte, like in his lane, and they would like flip out. But now it's definitely become a more norm thing, and we train together almost every day, and he's definitely just become one of like the teammates that I have. So now we're like friends, but at that point I was just like so fascinated that I got to swim in a lane with him.
Yeah, that's cool, and I'm sure he's one to help you. You know, he's another one the media you kind of portrayed in a wrong way, and I didn't like that because I know that everything I hear from the swimmers and himself and his manager, you know, it's all positive stuff, and you know the media likes to run with things, so that's awesome. Now, I know you've been on the international stage several times. I mentioned that earlier, but how excited are you to leave Winston-Salem, North Carolina, for Cal Berkeley? You know, what made that decision arise for you?
I'm pretty excited. I actually can't wait to go to college. It'll definitely be something new and definitely a new challenge for me. But it's a perfect fit for me with the team and the culture. And Coach Terry McKeever is the women's coach, and I know that she has a lot of success with backstrokers. And I know that she's a great coach. And leading into the Olympic year, that it'll be a good transition to go to her, and I'm just really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's quite a change of scenery there. I've been to California to play a few times, but never really lived there. But that'll be Winston-Salem in California. That's about the same, right?
Yeah, it's a little different. I'll be like 20 minutes from the beach now.
Yeah, you'll be rubbing it in your parents' faces. Oh, they'll probably be out there seeing you swim anyway. Now I have to ask this. I'm getting off track just for a second. But I know you're 18, but did your parents spoil you with a sweet 16 party, or did you just have a normal birthday party?
I did just have a normal birthday party, but I did get to have a good 18th birthday this year. All my friends came over, and we had a good like cake and ice cream, and it was really fun.
No, there's nothing wrong with that, though. I've seen all these things on TV of sweet 16, and I'm like, man, if I have a daughter one day, I don't know if I can put that much money into a sweet 16. Then you're going to ruin it for yourself down the road. All right, so obviously I got sidetracked, but what does your training regimen consist of? Is it like kind of insane training? Is it different because of your age? What's your toughest part of training? Do you train individually? Do you train in groups? I know your swimming's probably a lot, but I'm talking about more like stuff you do out of the pool, like weightlifting or running or cardio, whatever it may be.
Well, I do like 6 or 7 swim practices a week, and that's pretty normal for swimmers, but I'm trying to not do as many as I could because as I get older, I want to be able to add more to my like swimming regimen. But I do work out 4 times a week outside of the water and the weight room, which is either weights or circuit training or speed training, like explosive stuff, and then also I have Pilates once a week as well. So it's a lot going on, but it makes me busy, which I like.
Yeah, it's always good to be busy than be twiddling your thumbs and thinking of things to do, that's for sure. Now, the last question I'll ask you before we get kind of random and we learn more about you, the person, is after reading over your bio and seeing all the great things, and another great thing popped into my head, when you have future professional aspirations in the medical field, what line of work would you, I know you want to swim and you want to swim as long as you can because you're an athlete and you love it, but what line of work do you want to do in that medical field if it's presented to you?
I definitely want to go to nursing school and be a nurse and do something in the pediatric field. I like love kids and I'm sort of into the whole medical thing. And I know that nurses get a good opportunity to do a lot of that stuff and be a big influence on kids' lives. And so I just want to be able to do that once I'm done swimming.
Yeah, that's not only tough, but a great field to get into. And you will, coming from that school, if you get a degree and that's part of, and it's medical degree, then you'll be good to go. I don't think you have to worry about it, and you can concentrate on swimming and that. All right, so
yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's a great school to go to over there for it as well. So let's flip the script a little bit, and we'll learn a little bit about Kathleen Baker outside of the pool, not the swimmer. So who is your teenage crush? And if you have a boyfriend and he's listening, it's okay. He can get over it.
I would say Zac Efron. He's sort of like the icon of like my teenage friends and I. We think he's so cute and he has great abs.
He's great abs. Well, I guess I wouldn't fall in that boat, so I have no chance. All right, let's move on. What is your greatest skill or attribute besides swimming? Unless, I mean, I know you're shining in the swimming pool, but what's your greatest skill or attribute as a person?
I think I'm pretty easygoing, and I sort of just like to have fun with my friends and hang out, and I'm always like on the move.
So you're saying you're a woman that's not dramatic?
No.
Oh, I don't believe that one second, but you know, it's okay. I'll let you slide on that one. All right. So what's the best piece of advice someone has ever given to you, and who was it?
Definitely enjoy the process, and that's probably been repeated to me by Coach Marsh, my parents, any coach I've ever had, just to enjoy the process and then, like, just have fun with it because you never know when you're not going to be able to do it or not, like, doing as well. And I think you need to not just focus on one thing. You need to enjoy, like, the little things along the way, like breaking a record at a meet or going a best time here, and just enjoy the whole process of it.
Yeah, and that goes along with something I was told by a coach, Bill Cower, who I'm sure you've heard of, even though you're half my age. But he said, you know, never get too high with the highs and never get too low with the lows. And everyone uses that now, but that was the first time I've ever heard that, because it doesn't matter if you had a great game or not, or you swam a great meet. The next time you go out there, if you don't compete with yourself and try to get better, someone will overtake that, and then that will be a low. So that goes right along with what you're saying, enjoying the process. That was a great answer. And actually, that's probably as simple as it can get, as things can get, and they're so true, though. Now, Do you have any fears? And this isn't, I mean, this is just in general. I know you're young and everything, but is there something you'd be like, maybe snakes or spiders or an activity? What, do you have any fears?
Sharks, but I'm also like super fascinated by them. Like I watch Shark Week every week on Discovery or every year on Discovery Channel. But whenever we do like open water swims in the ocean or something, I am like eyes peeled to see if I see a shark.
So what, that's actually pretty funny. I'm about to say, how can you be so scared of a shark, even though they are pretty dangerous, but you're a swimmer? So at least the good thing about that is if there's someone that's going to get away from a shark, it's probably going to be a swimmer. So that's good. All right. So before you compete at an event, whatever it may be, what's on your iPod or whatever you have?
Definitely
you listen to.
Some really pump up music, maybe some rap or something like really that like gets my blood pumping, I guess, or gets me like really excited to swim. But usually when I'm about to swim, I have nothing in my ears because I just like to focus on myself and have no other distractions around me. So I sort of just zone everything out. But a couple hours before, that's what I listen to.
Yeah, that's it's so funny to hear some people just say rap. I don't know why it's funny. Just because sometimes people stereotype rap, and I listen to rap when I play. And now it's kind of like a mixture of everything. Depends who I'm hanging out with. But now, how cool is it? And I know you've signed an autograph, so how cool is it to sign that first autograph? And do you remember when and where that was?
I think it was definitely at the Charlotte Grand Prix when I was probably like 15 or 16, and some like little kid came up to me, and I think he probably thought I was better than I actually was and just didn't know anything and just was like, oh, can you sign this? And I thought it was the coolest thing, being able to like signed something for a kid, and then like more kids came over because they thought I was like a big deal, and so I ended up getting to sign like 15 autographs.
Well, I think that he's going to be happy he has that come the Worlds and the Olympics and down the road. I truly believe that. And so you may have said that at the time, but he knew what was going on. So there's one last serious question I have about swimming, and one, we have 2 minutes, so we kind of have to close it out, but one last serious question and one funny question. So the first one is, describe your actual, when your swimming routine. I know you said you do, you're always busy, but how much do you swim daily and how many hours, blah, blah, blah?
Some days we swim between like 2.5 and 3 hour practices, as well as like an hour in the weight room. So sometimes for me, it's like 4 or 5 hours of training, just depending on the day. Some days we only swim, so that's only like 2 hours of training. So it just, some days are a lot easier than others.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think that swimming for 30 minutes for me is like, you know, a world record, but obviously it's whatever for you guys. You guys are freakish athletes, just like wrestlers. They don't get enough credit either. Now, I have to give your the director of communications and marketing of SwimMAC Carolina, Angel Trimble. I think hopefully I didn't butcher her name. I have to give her credit for getting Ryan on and yourself and Camille. But did you have any idea, this is the funny question, that who Jeff Reed was when I asked you to be on my radio show via Angel?
I did, because my dad and my whole family are huge Panthers fans, and we've been going, I was probably like 4 or 5 years old, and he was like, well, you better know that he paid for the Steelers for like 9 years, so my dad filled me in on who you were, and you were a kicker, and went to Carolina, so I got your whole background.
Well, that's good. I was going to ask you, do you have any idea now, but since you are football fans, unlike Camille, then it's easier it's easier to communicate with you. But thank you, Kathleen, for coming on Barely Controlled Radio this 27th day of May. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. And good luck to you. Best of luck in everything you do in life, whether it's the medical field or swimming. Also, a special thanks to Camille Adams of Team Elite as well. All the listeners wish you much success at the Worlds and beyond. And lastly, thank you to Michelle Coffino for kicking the show off with info on her Recycling Metal to Recycle Lives event. Everyone have a great evening, and I look forward to next week.
That's all the time we've got for today. Barely Controlled Radio can be heard live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you'll join Jeff Reed for another great show next week.